You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Tone Zone.
Welcome to the Tone Zone. I am your host, Anthony Mullen. So today we're going to be talking about really the biggest thing in film discussion, really over the last 10 or so years, but we're mainly going to be looking at the main superhero cinema of 2021 so far and how it's really dominated the discussion on Twitter and whatnot. There's really been, and we're mainly going to be looking at the Marvel TV shows. We're going to be talking about what we've watched recently. But yeah, we're going to be talking about WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, what we think about the conclusion of WandaVision and what we're looking forward to with Falcon and Winter Soldier, and also our first impressions. I am once again joined by Caleb Blake. How are you doing?
I'm always doing great, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great myself. So let's start. Before we get into the marvel of it all, what have you been watching recently?
Oh, man. So, Peaky Blinders, just, this is a little bit away from, you know, our superhero discussion, but if you haven't seen Peaky Blinders, that's all, just go give it a watch.
I need to watch it.
Dude, it's so good, man.
I found out Tom Hardy's in Peaky Blinders. I need to watch it.
Excellent. I mean, he doesn't, so, not really a spoiler, kind of a spoiler, he doesn't show up until season two.
Okay.
But, no, it's the casting in that show is also like
Cillian Murphy.
Oh my god, he's so good. He plays Tommy Shelby. He's basically, it's a lot about kind of like just like gang kind of activity going on in, you know, the UK, like England and Ireland, things like that. It's a great watch though if you haven't seen that. So
I need to get on. It's so many shows I'm getting like into. Like I'm juggling like three shows right now.
Oh, I know. It's, dude, it is just so much time and you're like,
yeah,
it's hard to balance it all.
Speaking of TV shows, I've got a few picks that because I've just been watching a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So for TV shows, I've watched the first season of the classic show Twin Peaks. It rules.
Really? So yeah. I had a friend that watched it, and he said it was great, but I just never. It's on Netflix now, is it not?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Because I've always heard great things. And do you know the Disney show Gravity Falls?
Oh, I love Gravity Falls.
My favorite, maybe my favorite show growing up.
I was literally just watching it when I was at home.
Like, it's like Twin Peaks is pretty much that, but like more obviously adult.
Yeah, yeah.
It rules. Twin Peaks, so I'm one season in, but it rules.
I'm going to have to give that a watch then, because really I love Gravity Falls, man.
And I'm getting into like Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
I'm a few episodes into that. It's pretty good. I mean, the guy who directed Euphoria, Sam Levinson, he recently made Malcolm and Marie. Do you know Malcolm and Marie?
It's the awful movie, right?
It's terrible.
Really? I haven't seen it, so.
Awful. I do not recommend that movie at all. Like, I really like John David Washington and Zendaya. Like, I mean, John David Washington's the protagonist in Tenet. Come on. Yeah. Come on. We love Tenet. But, and Zendaya's, I mean, she's great, but the problem is, the writing is so bad.
It's bad.
So bad. But Euphoria is, it's much better. That, and then with movies, mainly because I've been so busy, I just kind of want like easy to watch movies. So I've been watching a lot of like the old Disney animated movies.
Okay, all right.
And I've been watching like Little Mermaid. I've been Aladdin. I just watched Peter Pan. Peter Pan does not age well.
Really?
Not very good.
Oh man.
Peter Pan sucks. Like, the character Peter Pan sucks.
Yeah.
But, honestly, the most interesting watch I had, like, I watched Moana. I love Moana.
Oh, yeah. Moana's great. Yeah.
But the most interesting one was Hercules.
Really?
Hercules?
I haven't seen Hercules in a long time.
Me neither. Like, watching it back, it's so weird because it, like, it tries to make the movie, it's kind of like a superhero movie. It's like Superman.
Yeah.
But it's also Rocky. And it's also Michael Jordan, and it's like the most 90s thing ever. But
oh,
like,
man,
the music, it's maybe the best Disney soundtrack.
Really?
I find it it's one of the most interesting Disney movies in my opinion. But yeah,
Back on the high horse for
I've been watching a lot of those, and I'm planning on watching more.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've watched.
So that's, yeah.
You're going,
I mean,
Peaky Blinders. I'm...
Peaky Blinders, yeah. Matthew McConaughey, we've been watching some McConaughey movies recently. We watched The Gentlemen. It's a solid watch. It's a solid watch. He's, you know, it's a little hard to follow at first because the beginning, no spoilers. But it's hard to follow at first. Once you figure everything out, it's a very good watch. Mm-hmm. And we got on that wave because me and a couple of my friends actually watched, what's the name? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I'd never seen that before.
All right.
But excellent movie. Big Matthew McConaughey fan.
I'm a big McConaughey fan. I don't think he'll ever top Interstellar.
Oh, yeah. That movie's
adore Interstellar. Excellent. Perfect movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But... yeah.
So that's about it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had our weekly watches. Now, there was one weekly watch that we both partake in.
Oh, yes.
The gargantuan four-hour version of Zack Snyder's Justice League, which came out a week ago. For those who don't know, Zack Snyder has directed now three DC movies, creating the DC Extended Universe, as they're calling it. He made Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and now this version of Justice League. I do not like Man of Steel. I do not like Batman v Superman. This one, Justice League, a little better. What's your relationship with like the modern DC movies, and what are your like overall opinions?
So I've been very late to DC just because, I mean, the feedback is always so it's always so bad. A new DC anything comes out.
Right.
And I remember I was late to watching Man of Steel. I eventually got around to it, and I mean, didn't really enjoy it too much. I was like, all right, I mean, I guess I believe the public. And, you know, after that, I was kind of very skeptical about things. Like, I would go and see it if, you know, like, I was going with other people, and they're just like, hey, we got nothing to do. Like, I went and I saw Suicide Squad. I mean, didn't enjoy Suicide Squad too much either.
New one looks
and
really
good. And
I
was really excited about, yeah, the new one does look good. I was really excited about that, too, because I thought, you know, maybe we'll see a little bit. But there was no Joker in that movie, which sucks.
Maybe a good thing. That Joker is awful.
Oh, yeah.
Joker is awful.
I actually didn't even enjoy the scene with the Joker in the Justice.
I think it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's
just so weird. Like, what is going on? Like,
I'll get to this later, but, like, it only works if you're viewing at it, like, with all the hindsight, where it's like, we'll never see these versions again.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's like a completely different version of the Joker.
Yeah. But yeah, I would just say, I mean, I haven't been too high on the DC movies. Like, I didn't even make it through Batman v Superman. I started watching it and then just, but I went into Justice League because it was recommended that, you know, it's pretty good. The feedback's been pretty solid so far.
It has, really.
And, you know, I went into it with an open mind because I didn't see the first one. I didn't see the first Justice League because I heard it was just... I heard it was that bad, and I was like, I'm not going to, you know, waste my time and my money going to watch a bad movie. So, but I, you know, went into it open mind, and I didn't expect a whole lot, but it was solid. It was an enjoyable watch.
Yeah, I think I agree. As I said, I do not like Zack Snyder's previous DC movies. I don't really like him as a filmmaker. He's just not really my palette of film,
right.
But he's made movies that fundamentally do not understand the character of Superman. Like, they present a character of Superman that I, like, violently reject. And then in the next movie, they do a version of Batman that I do not, like, it's like the mirror version of what I recognize as the character.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I went into this, I had seen the theatrical version. It's not really a movie. It's like a Frankenstein version of his vision because... Snyder had to leave the project in 2016 or 17, due to a family tragedy, and they brought in Joss Whedon, who did the first Avengers and Age of Ultron, and he reshot stuff and kind of added jokes to it, which do not work in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the thing that's so interesting, by the time Snyder left, 90% of the movie that just came out had already been shot.
Yeah.
It's 4 hours long,
yeah.
So about a little less than that, honestly, had already been shot, and the theatrical version is 2 hours. They cut out half of it.
Yeah.
And it feels like that. That movie is 2 hours of nonsense.
Yeah.
And I think this version of the movie benefits from the 4-hour runtime. What do you say?
Yeah, no, I would have to agree, because at first, like, you're looking at that 4 hours and it just looks so intimidating. Like, just imagining. And we talked about this, split it up, you know, like half and half. So we watched the first three parts. Yeah. And then, you know, the last three, like, later on in the day or whatnot. But it needed all four of the hours. I mean, to maybe not all four. I mean, some of the slow motion could.
Yeah, okay.
I could do without a lot of the slow mo.
Snyder likes a lot of slow motion. And in this movie, a 4 hour movie, about 50 minutes of it is slow motion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's insane. Like, sometimes it's just unbearable. Like, you, and it would be different if, like, you didn't know what was going to happen, but you do. And
you do.
It's just delaying the inevitable, and you're like, come on, like, just get there. I mean,
right.
But it did need to be split up into six different parts to introduce every character. Like, I thought the character development with Cyborg was awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed, I'm a big fan of The Flash, and, like, I enjoyed how they showed him, you know, going back to prison and talking with his dad and whatnot, because that's a big part of, you know, The Flash's background, and I thought that was, you know, a really nice touch to add into it. But yeah, I mean, overall, like, just, so it definitely needed the full 4 hours to kind of explain and get everyone up to speed, you know, before, I guess, the final conclusion,
With what their choices were going into this movie, where it's like, okay, we're not going to have any movies that introduce the Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman,
the Justice League.
It makes sense to have a 4 hour runtime then. Because, like, Marvel, when they were setting up the MCU, they introduced their characters through much more movies. There were about six movies than the first Avengers. You get the entire core cast, really, introduced already. But DC, Warner Brothers decided to make two movies, really. We'll make a Superman movie, then we'll make a Superman movie, but we'll introduce Batman and Wonder Woman. And then the next movie, we'll just introduce three others. Yeah. So if you're going by that, you have to have longer run times.
Right, right.
Because in the theatrical version, Cyborg has no introduction, neither does The Flash, really.
Yeah.
Aquaman, not really.
Because Aquaman came out after...
Yes, right. Aquaman came out the year after the theatrical version of Justice League. So, and that's another thing I want to talk about. Like, this movie really benefits from all the hindsight and everything we've seen up since 2017. Like, the theatrical cut, obviously, I think it looks... The Snyder cut looks much better to the Joss Whedon version. Mm-hmm. Most people have already seen Aquaman, so we're established with Aquaman.
Right.
So when he's, instead of an introduction to the character, like, clean, we already have seen him in his adventure. Yeah. Aquaman, by the way, big fan of Aquaman.
Excellent.
It rules.
Momoa is awesome. I mean, oh, great movie. Great.
Yeah. And I want to get back to a point that relates to Aquaman, but yeah. So theatrical cut, Aquaman, and then over the past few years, Warner Brothers has switched to making the DC movies more individual. So you have, like, Shazam kind of stands on its own.
Right.
Birds of Prey stands on its own. Wonder Woman 84 really stands on its own. Mm-hmm. And they've really made some of the best movies doing that. Like, I think Shazam's great. I think Aquaman does a similar thing.
Yeah.
That's really good. Birds of Prey, I really like. Wonder Woman 84, not so much.
Yeah. Haven't seen Wonder Woman 84 yet, actually.
It's so long.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it feels as long as this movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, like, and they kind of Warner Brothers is kind of phasing out these versions of the characters, and this movie only released on HBO Max, so we know these aren't the only versions of the character we're going to be seeing.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the problem watching Batman v Superman when it first came out. I was like, this is the Batman and Superman for an entire generation.
Yeah, it's just hard, because they're just so negative.
Like, yeah, they see their responsibility as a burden, and they're just, like, brooding, like, logs who hate life, and they're murderers, obviously. And, like, the DC comics have always been much more kid-oriented than Marvel. Like, Marvel's, like, superheroes in our world, they've always been like that.
Right.
DC are, like, gods, and they're much more, like, moral stories. They're more, like, I mean, each character of the Justice League really has their own world.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They're, like, more fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, you have like, Atlantis and, you know, the Amazonian.
And even, like, Green Lantern, like, the whole cosmic realm.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, there, DC has always been much more kid-oriented. And even, like, Marvel, those characters are on lunchboxes. Superman and Batman are on lunchboxes. Yeah. Why are you making a R-rated version of
yeah.
these? And the Snyder Cut is R-rated, so I have that problem, too.
Right.
Like,
there is a lot. Yeah.
If you're going to make an R-rated superhero thing, make new characters.
Yeah.
Do what The Boys did.
Yeah. Yeah. The Boys, great watch, actually.
I need to watch that.
It's pretty good. I saw it with my roommate's like a big fan of that show. So he like basically forced me to watch it.
I've heard nothing but good things. There's also there's an animated superhero show that's kind of like that. Like,
really?
It's like R-rated, but it's the characters are completely created. They're based off a comic that's very violent.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But you can't have Superman, who's been in comics and commercials for 80 years.
I mean, forever. It's someone that, like, as a kid, you're like, oh, wow. Like, I mean, you don't know anybody. You're like, yeah, like, I look up to Superman. Like, he's the epitome of, like, everything that's good in the world, you know?
Exactly. And if you're trying to, like, make Superman your Mickey Mouse,
yeah.
You don't have, there's no Disney cartoon of Mickey Mouse murdering.
Yeah, I mean, I still just have so many problems with Batman, like having a gun.
Oh my gosh!
And, like, what? I mean, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing with that?
Like I'm saying, these movies benefit from the hindsight of knowing, like, oh, Ben Affleck's version of Batman is not going to be the only Batman. We're getting Robert Pattinson's Batman soon. We're getting Michael Keaton back in The Flash, which I'm very excited
I'm excited about that too. I was reading up on that a little bit and the little Flashpoint, because I would always watch the animated, like, Flashpoint like comic series, and I loved watching those. So that storyline, really interested to see where that goes.
But. Yeah. And I'm very excited because I think Affleck's coming back for that movie.
Yeah.
We know Keaton. Keaton's my favorite Batman. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Batman Returns, masterpiece.
Great movie.
So
great.
Good. But, like, these movies benefit from that hindsight of knowing Robert Pattinson's coming. We have animated versions of Batman.
Right.
Ben Affleck, he can be Batman, but he's not going to be the only Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's wielding a gun in Injustice. Do you know Injustice?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was obsessed with the video games forever. But that storyline, though, as a kid, I would read some of those comics. Like.
Yeah, like, Snyder, he... like, especially with the epilogue, he introduces, like, an alternate reality, or, like, a future where Superman is evil, which it's very, like, Injustice. That's kind of the conceit of the whole Injustice story.
Right.
But the fact that that was the idea for being the main DC story, that makes no sense to me.
No, not at all. My thoughts are the same. I just didn't... It's a little too dark for it to be this... Like you said, like, a whole generation's, you know... Like, that's your Batman. That's the guy that you want on, like, you know, these lunchboxes. The guy that you're going to push all this merchandise for, like, young kids and just things like that. I mean.
But watching the, like, nightmare version of the Batman and Cyborg and the Flash fighting evil Superman, it's much more easy to take in now knowing that multiple versions of the character are coexisting.
Right.
And it feels a lot like when you go to, like, a comic book store. Mm. There are 5 versions of Batman out currently.
Right.
One's a little darker. One's more for kids.
Yeah.
One's, like, the mainline one. It's much different than what Marvel's doing, because Marvel, I think, is bogged down by their continuity.
Right.
And we'll get into that with WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But I really like what DC's allowing themselves to do. Like, we're not really confined to that. Let's just... allow directors to make whatever they want. Like James Wan, who he did the Saw movies and the Conjuring.
Yeah.
They tell him, here's Aquaman, do whatever you want. And that's why I think Aquaman works so well.
Yeah.
It is fully James Wan. And to an extent, they allowed Snyder to do that. But the problem was they let Snyder make Man of Steel. And they were like, everybody else in this universe, you have to conform to Snyder.
Right.
What they're doing now is just saying, continuity, the universe doesn't really matter. There's, like, parallel worlds. Make whatever you want. Give interesting people characters and let them run.
Right.
Yeah. But
enjoying it, and I
yeah
excited for what could potentially be coming in the future. Like the new Batman, new I Batman mean, it looks good. Great. I'm very excited to watch that.
New Batman looks good. The Suicide Squad trailer just came out.
Looks good.
Looks very interesting.
Yeah.
King Shark.
Oh my God!
Do you know who's voicing?
I know who.
Sylvester Stallone.
Really? Yeah. I didn't even pick that up in the trailer.
Idris Elba, Bloodsport.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. No, just seeing like it's a pretty star-studded cast. I would say.
Honestly, Pete Davidson's like.
Yeah, I saw like Pete Davidson's in like the first 30 seconds, and you just see him coming out in a jumpsuit, and you're like,
oh, he's gonna get killed. Like, they're gonna kill so many of these characters, and it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Like,
it'll definitely be a good watch.
Right. I mean. Yeah, like I said, this my opinion of the Snyder Cut is that it really, like, it beat me into submission, and I was like, all right, I guess I'm having a good time. The pacing's awful, but I do think there is a decent movie, at least a movie much better than Batman v Superman, Man of Steel, and the theatrical version of Justice League in this cut.
Right.
If you, because it allows Cyborg to be a character, it allows Flash to be a character, it allows Aquaman to be a character, but whatever. And like the Superman with the black suit, I don't like that version of. I think Superman's awful in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, because this is the Justice League. Like, you know, he's always gonna don the classic, you know, blue and red. It's I didn't really like that too much either. But I mean, it was a cool suit. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah it's
just
it's
the
cool
classic
suit.
Look for, you know, this is gonna be the Justice League movie that you want to put out, like. Make sure you kind of stay true to the original.
Exactly.
Kind of vibe. Yeah.
The fact that it's not really the main thing anymore, I'll allow it.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, that's really my main thoughts on the Snyder Cut. I'd give it like a 5 out of 10. Like
Are we going to go ratings today?
Hey, you can.
I'll go
you
ratings
can.
Today. Be a little precise. I'd go like 5.8.
Yeah,
I'd go 5.8.
I think it's right, because like, if like Batman v Superman's like a 3 or a 4,
yeah,
I think it's a solid 5-6.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, I don't think there'll be another version. I don't think there'll be another Snyder DC movie. I mean, I hope not, because so the Snyder Cut was brought upon by a Twitter movement that was very toxic, extremely toxic, and I hope they don't I hope this doesn't set a precedent for toxic behavior to win out.
Right. Yeah.
That's my final word on the Snyder Cut.
I mean, yeah, I got everything out of me. Yeah. out of me.
So, going on to the other side of the competition, Marvel, they've really controlled the narrative this year. When it comes, not even just superheroes, I think in media in general. With their two Disney Plus shows so far. First one being WandaVision, second one being Falcon and Winter Soldier. Let's start with WandaVision. What were your overall thoughts with how WandaVision kind of concluded?
So, I enjoyed WandaVision throughout. We would always watch it in my dorm. Have a nice little, our weekly Saturday or Friday morning get up. Because, I mean, look, there's some, if there was anybody out there that was grinding at 3 in the morning, like, I know my friend, actually, when I was just at home, two of them like stayed up until 3 a.m. to watch the new Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like, respect to anyone else that's doing that, because I'm not gonna lie, I like the Friday morning wake up a lot more. But you know, obviously it starts out, you're a little confused. It's the whole mystery around, you know, what is going on, who is Wanda being controlled, is Wanda, because you know, you have Jimmy Woo in the first few episodes when he's like, Wanda, like, who's doing this to you? And you know, it built like a nice mystery. But, you know, and as it goes on, it, you know, progresses well. I really did enjoy the whole, you know, series. But the conclusion was, and this is really mainly just because I let myself fall victim to so many TikTok theories and, like, just different things people were putting out there. But it was just not, it wasn't underwhelming. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed seeing, you know, Wanda finally become, like, the Scarlet Witch, like, don her, you know, own up to her powers and whatnot.
Right.
But, I don't know. I think the ending could have gone a bit differently. Like, I would have liked to see the Mephisto storyline if that would have happened, especially, and I guess I didn't really know much about Agnes going into it, because I hadn't read that line of, like, the comic and whatnot. But, I mean, it was a good watch, like, throughout. Like, I was always interested in, like, wanting to watch the next episode, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have very mixed opinions on WandaVision. Before I say anything, I really like the experience of watching WandaVision. I love that it's not like they just don't dump all the episodes.
Yeah.
The fact that it's weekly and you like allow yourself to make a routine to like,
right.
Like I would usually watch it after like my Friday morning run, or I'd go over and watch it with you. And that was like, we made like an event of it. And that was fun.
Yeah.
But my problems with WandaVision is that like, it starts off really strong and really unique for Marvel, and it really like sets it up to be like, we're breaking from the Marvel formula.
Right.
And by the end, it feels so in line with the formula where it's like, how did you even allow yourself to get back to that Marvel formula?
Right.
And like the first few episodes, like I really like the idea of playing off like American sitcoms. I think that's an interesting take.
Yeah.
Allowing like a family dynamic.
Right.
But it almost does nothing with that.
Yeah. And once the kids showed up, I loved watching those. Yeah. Especially the newest one, like the when Wanda starts to break down and it's like The Office and like Modern Family. Yeah. That episode was excellent.
Like it starts hitting its stride once the kids come and you get like, you're allowed for like the family dynamic to play out. And then so it's set up as a mystery, like the rollout for this show, they were saying, oh, this is like a mystery show. It really uses that mystery box formula that shows like Lost use. And I really don't understand why, because for anybody knowing the characters Wanda and Vision and knowing the MCU in general, the mystery set up at the beginning of the show was, oh, what's going on with this world? Who created this world? If you paid any attention, you know it's, oh, Wanda made this world because she's grieving, because Vision's dead.
Right.
The answer the show gives at the end, after 8 hours, is Wanda made this world because she's grieving because Vision is dead. Why is this a mystery?
Not yet.
Just let it be like a psychological view of a woman breaking down, like experiencing trauma.
Yeah.
Like this, the discussions her and Vision have about trauma, they're few and far between. They're excellent. They're some of the best in the MCU.
Oh my god, they're so, the scene, and this was a little bit later, but when you see like right after Pietro dies, and they're just in that room, just kind of, you know, Vision's. I mean, that's, he was still pretty early. That was like kind of fairly recent compared to like when he came around.
Yeah, I think it's like Civil War-ish. So right. Yeah.
So, and you kind of like get him or see him start to understand like how to have feelings and how to, you know, understand how humans work. And he sees Wanda in like that vulnerable state. I mean, she's obviously down bad at the time. I mean,
she's down real bad.
Yeah, I mean, her brother's just died. She really has no one in the complex that's, you know, cause, I mean, the Avengers complex, I feel like they weren't really all.
Yeah, apparently she's not getting paid.
Yeah,
we'll
definitely get into that with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I mean, but it's, you know, but you just get to see them, like, how they bond. And at every scene with them in it, like, there wasn't enough of those in between, especially after the kids come around. Like,
yeah.
There just wasn't enough of that dynamic.
Yeah, like, episode 5, I think, is really the standout. And the standout scene in that is right before Pietro is revealed, where the Wanda and Vision are fighting in their living room, and then they start floating. Like the dialogue and the acting in that is like exactly what I want out of these shows. I want more of the human aspect. TV allows you to have more time, spend more time with these characters. So bring in these human elements, have conversations. Like the everything with Vision, I think, is really great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have him like go off for an episode and whatever. But like when White Vision comes towards the end. By the way, this is all spoilers. I hope you
are bad.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're 30 minutes in, so.
tough. I mean, yeah.
So spoiler alert. There's a version of Vision that is white.
Maybe then, when we put the the episode up later, just spoiler alert.
Spoiler
all caps, like spoilers ahead.
I'll, like, edit me screaming spoiler alert. But yeah, like the ship of Theseus talk.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like that went around Twitter. And like the, what was the one line? What is grief if not love persevere?
Oh my God. The memes for that are awesome on Twitter.
I think the reason those are memes is because they're effective lines.
No, yeah. When he first said that, we all, like everyone that I was watching with, we were like,
yeah.
He's not wrong. I mean,
and like you get those pretty. I mean, those are very few and far. They're like episodes apart.
Yeah.
And by the end, when like Agatha's revealed, and it turns like it does a complete 180 into like witch lore mm-hmm. and like the Scarlet Witch and chaos magic, like. And then at the very end, when she's with her entire family and she's got to say goodbye to them, I'm like grasping onto that where it's like, I need more of this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about red energy beams versus purple energy beams. Right. I do think the fight with White Vision and Vision is cool.
That fight was awesome. I mean, just the visuals in that whole episode were outstanding. Like, even when, like, at the end, Wanda has Agatha in the ruins. I mean, I guess that's another spoiler, but like.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever.
That was a good setup.
But yeah. I just the graphics and use of, you know, colors throughout. I thought they did a really good job of setting everything up.
Yeah, my problem of it though comes in like it's like the thing that always reminds me of it is the final fight in Harry Potter. I'm not a big I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. That's probably my biggest. I never grew up with that.
So I read the books when I was a kid. I've watched the movies. I mean they're good movies. I'll defend the Harry Potter fans out there. I got you guys.
I won't get too far into this, but my hot take is that there's maybe one I would consider great. The rest are whatever. Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh,
good
great.
Movie.
Great, great movie. I love that movie.
Okay, yeah, but like it's that fight where it's just energy beams coming. It's like I would much rather the show end with a conversation. Like some Marvel movies even do that. Black Panther.
Yeah.
The movie ends with
that ending scene with Michael B. Jordan is excellent.
It ends with a conversation. The Dark Knight, considered the greatest superhero movie of all time, ends with a conversation.
Right.
Spider-Man 2, same thing, ends with a conversation.
Yeah.
By going into this like energy beam battle, like you're completely diluting everything you've set up that is so human. Right. Like there's such good things in this show with Wanda and Vision mm-hmm. and even some of the sword stuff. Let's get into sword real quick.
Yeah.
So episode 4, it's 3 episodes of the sitcom, and then it's a hard turn to the back to the real world with sword.
Yeah.
What was your opinion of the whole sword of it all?
So I didn't know anything about sword, and maybe, I mean, I'm sure they're probably somewhere in the comics. I mean,
it's S.H.I.E.L.D., but they...
like a different branch or division?
Yeah, they deal with, like, the supernatural and, like, the extraterrestrial, right. I guess.
So they just kind of pop up out of nowhere and you're like,
yep,
well this is interesting. And I mean episode 4 kind of did a good job of introducing, you know, Monica and her background.
Yeah,
I think she's
the best character in the movie. Show.
I would agree. Like she was, other than like maybe Jimmy Woo, just because there's so much hype around
Jimmy Woo. All right,
he's awesome.
Jimmy Woo's the best.
Yeah,
100%. Give him his show. Like there's been petitions going around, Marvel,
give him the X-Files show. Give him the X-Files. Like, that would be so interesting.
It'd be the greatest show. Just him going town to town, like...
Just solving different mysteries.
It'd be incredible. Please.
They could do so many different things with that, too, and just...
That's, like, an ideal Marvel show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Jimmy Woo's the best. I wish we had more of him, because, like... So, the more I think of... In preparation for this, the more I thought about WandaVision, the more I was trying to restructure it to try to make it more satisfying. If you're going to have the show be a mystery, you have to have... So for the first 3 episodes, it's a mystery. Nobody's trying to solve the mystery. Where's it going? You either got to have, like, Vision, like, trying to, like, oh, what's going on? Like, him catching on earlier than he does in the show. Or you make episode 4, episode 1. You have Monica be your lead, and she's the active protagonist trying to solve the mystery.
Right.
And, I mean... With the way things end, I mean, Wanda is, like, excused for doing terrible things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the way they... Like, she's really should be the antagonist.
Yeah.
I don't think... Agatha really doesn't really serve a purpose besides being fun and being a great performance by Katherine Hahn, who rules.
Awesome.
But...
I really thought... So, the direction that I thought it was going in was where Wanda was kind of just going to take over this new... villain role.
That's what I thought.
She is so powerful. I mean,
yeah, like, and she does terrible things.
Yeah, I mean, she does kind of just get like a free pass for literally just like being inside everyone in this town's head and, you know, like taking them away from their families, taking them away from their real lives. I mean, and it's kind of just like, you know, everyone gives her a nice little like evil eye at the end, but Monica, and not really Monica.
What Monica does, okay. I don't want to interrupt, but
no,
like,
you're all good.
I pretty much love everything that Monica was doing up until that point. Mm. When she tells Wanda at the very end, you know, I lost somebody too. I would have done the same thing. What are you doing? No.
What are you doing, man? You can't do...
You're letting her off the hook. That's not good storytelling. She's done something terrible. If you want me to care about these characters, have them face consequences.
Yeah. She's going to have to face justice. I'm hoping that maybe, you know, I know she'll be in Doctor Strange, the new upcoming Multiverse of Madness. So hopefully, you know, there'll be some justice coming around in that movie. But
my theory for that I'm hoping for, I think it'd be cool. Make her the villain.
Yeah. No. That's the direction that I thought that we were going to go in.
Won't happen. But
at first, I would love that. I would honestly love that. Like, don't get me wrong. Yes, it is cool to see, you know, Wanda as, you know, Scarlet Witch, like, oh, yeah, she's a good guy, she's an Avenger. But, like, as a villain, I think that storyline could be so much more compelling, especially now that, you know, I mean, we know, like, what she's lost and whatnot. But seeing, you know, we saw enough of the psychological side of, like, the toll that it really took on her throughout WandaVision that I think it would, you know, you have so much background information on her and making her the villain, that'd be such a great storyline.
Yeah, I think what Marvel needs to do more is, like, use the character they've already introduced.
Yeah.
Like, I saw like, an idea for, like, a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Make the kid from Iron Man 3 a villain.
Oh. Now, because, I would love to see that.
Like, use characters already introduced and, like, have... Because if Harley, the kid from Iron Man 3, is a Spider-Man villain... That says so much about, like, how Tony pretty much kicked that kid to the curb and brought up Spider-Man as his protege. I think that really works.
Oh, that would be...
Start making...
I kind of like
They need to start, actually. Like, making new villains. I mean, and obviously Scarlet Witch is... I mean, in the comics, she's, like, morally gray.
Right.
She's more of an anti-hero, I guess, because she's done awful things
in
the comics.
Right, yeah.
But, like, use the characters you've already had. So, like, I'm assuming in Doctor Strange it's going to be her and Strange teaming up to fight whoever.
Right, yeah.
Like, in the same way Thor Ragnarok is Thor and Hulk,
right.
Like, teaming up and fighting Hela.
Yeah.
But, I mean, by the end of the show, it's like, reintroduce these really interesting characters. Like, Darcy, I think, is a cool callback.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Woo, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Monica. And by the end, it just feels like, oh, I guess the only reason Monica was in this was so she can get powers and go to Captain Marvel 2.
Right.
It's just like they're, like, changing these characters. The only reason this show exists is so they could set these characters up in a different spot for the next movie,
mm-hmm.
and that takes away from the the product itself.
Yeah, I would have to say I agree. I mean, it's just...
And that's what I like about the DC movies. They're, like, format. It's that they allow them to be singular things, because the high ground of superhero movies, in my opinion, are the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man movies.
Oh my god, I could watch those movies on end.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They're so good.
Like, the first one isn't setting up a sequel, it's its own thing. The second one, its own thing. The third one, it's a bit of a mess. I kind of like it.
Yeah,
but
I enjoyed Spider-Man. Honestly, when I was a kid, Spider-Man 3 was my favorite of the... Well, that's not true. Spider-Man 2 has always been my favorite.
Yeah,
Spider-Man that movie 3 is rules. Excellent.
Spider-Man 3 rules.
Yeah. And Sam Raimi coming back for
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Very excited for that.
I think that's
so
gonna
glad
be awesome.
He's making movies
yeah.
again. Oh, like, if anybody was like, the fact when I heard that, I was like, all right, this is, like, the most excited I'll get for this movie,
because right.
like, they, like, kind of pitched that movie as a horror movie, but then they were like, it's gonna be PG-13.
Yeah,
like they're doing the same thing with Blade, the Mahershala Ali Blade.
Oh, right.
Like,
right.
Mahershala Ali, home run cast. Marvel always hits
Both
it out
Blade
of the
movies.
Park with. Their casting. Like, I mean, it would be cool if Wesley Snipes came back as Blade.
Would definitely be an awesome, like, callback.
But what makes those movies cool is that they're R-rated.
Right.
And they are allowed to be R-rated. I mean, as I said early on with R-rated superhero movies, a character like Blade or like Deadpool, they're made for that intention.
Yeah, like, that's their role. You know?
Yeah, you're not, like, twisting Blade the same way you twist Superman to make him R-rated.
Yeah.
But I don't know if a PG-13 Blade movie works.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening with it, but I mean, I'm going to be excited for it nonetheless.
I'm excited.
But
Mahershala Ali is the best.
Yeah, he's excellent.
He rules. But yeah, I mean, it kind of, the ending kind of falls limp for me. Like, I really like some of the stuff it does, but, like, the whole mystery of it all, and, like, holding Wanda's emotions, like, asking the question, oh, why is Wanda sad? Why is that the core mystery of the show?
Yeah, I mean, we know what she's lost already. We've seen
Infinity War.
Right, exactly. And there's also a, Disney Plus has this little series called, like, Marvel Legends. I don't know. It's basically just 8-minute snippets of...
Is that, like, recapping?
Yeah, it just recaps. Because we, so I actually ended up watching it. Me and my sister watched a few of them one day. And, like, we just watched the one with Wanda and then the one with Bucky. Because I didn't want to watch all of them. Like, one of them was Zemo, and I'm like...
Zemo.
I know what's happening with... Also, very excited that he is going to be in the next episode of Falcon the Winter Soldier. But
spoilers for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yes, true. Spoiler alert.
I love the mask. I love they're giving him the socks. Yes, I love that. But before we get into Falcon and Winter Soldier, any last words on WandaVision?
I mean, overall solid until, you know, you get to the ending. Falls a little bit short of what could have been, you know.
Yeah.
I think other plans or other, like, imaginations and things that we, you know, had could have been maybe a little bit better, but, you know, I still enjoyed it. I mean, if we go rating.
Oh, going rating.
We're going rating. I mean, I just significantly like Marvel stuff so much more than DC, but I would like 7.6.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say like 7.6.
My final thoughts are that, like, I appreciate how it tries to break the mold of Marvel, but by trying to break the mold in the beginning, it becomes even more frustrating when it comes back. So it's one of the most frustrating modern Marvel experiences. It feels a lot like an early 2000s Marvel movie, but it does have that Marvel Studios quality where, like, Marvel Studios is so well run.
Yeah.
The worst they can do is make like a B minus.
Yeah.
I saw a really good comparison to the MCU. It's a lot like a McDonald's. Like, no matter where you are in the world, Big Mac's gonna taste the same.
Yeah.
But there is only so much of upper echelon that Big Mac can taste.
Right.
Like, I don't know if the MCU can make a Spider-Man 2. But I know they can't make a Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I'm gonna rate WandaVision, it's like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, it bites off way more than it can chew, and I appreciate that, but it also, the way it does it, frustrates me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Fair.
So, got our opinions on WandaVision. let's move to Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I am honestly a lot higher on, because it presents itself as, like, I know they say 6-hour movie. I don't like that because it's a TV show.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Right.
But it kind of presents itself as like, oh, this is a continuation of that Winter Soldier style. We're just going to tell a story with these characters. Like, there's no, like, mystery or whatever at the heart of it.
Right.
But what do you think about Falcon and Winter Soldier so far? Two
episodes in. I have enjoyed it. Watched the second episode this morning, actually. Literally, probably like an hour ago. But, I'm enjoying it so far. I really like, you know, like we've talked before this about, you know, the human aspects of what's going on. And I really like the way that it's relating to kind of things going on in the world today. You know, there's the whole play on, like, race and things with Sam and, you know, how he is kind of profiled oftentimes in the show and things of that nature. And it's like, it's just, I like the way that they're, you know, shedding light on these things that, you know, obviously in, you know, our age today, like, there's more awareness now about, you know, things going on and you know, I'd like to think the world's moving in the right direction, but
let's hope.
I mean, one can only hope, but it's nice to see, you know, Marvel, something that, you know, so many people around the globe, like worldwide, watch, kind of touch on things going on in the world today.
I completely agree, yeah. Like, and with the whole, like, I mean, that's kind of what the show's based around right now, because it's all about, like, Sam Wilson not being Captain America, being chosen for Captain America, and there's a lot of subtext with that that really only Black Panther has been able to tell as a black superhero story.
Right.
because, I mean, besides Blade, it's really just been Black Panther.
I mean, that's so it. Far. It's, which is why I really hope at some point Sam is able to kind of get that ladder, shield back. And, you know, because, I mean, it would just be so awesome to see a Black Captain America, just because, there just has never been, like, even though Black Panther was obviously excellent and, you know, done very well, and, you know, it got the recognition that it deserved, but that was, like, it. And he's not really, like, a main, you know, super, obviously he's an Avenger, I guess, but.
Well, he was, Black Panther, like, in the comics, he was kind of, like, at the same level, like, Iron Man and whatever, like, the Avengers.
Yeah.
Not very high, but up until the movies. The movies kind of brought Black Panther up onto a pedestal.
Right.
And now he's, like, without a doubt, the most prominent Black superhero. Like,
oh, yeah. 100%.
There was a question, maybe Storm from the X-Men, or, like,
right,
maybe Cyborg, if you're going to reach. Like, Luke Cage.
Right. Yeah.
But it's without a doubt Black Panther right now.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think a problem, like, I'm going to get to a side tangent before I talk about Falcon Winter Soldier. The thing that frustrates me so much about the MCU in their, like, reliance on continuity, with the tragic passing of Chadwick Boseman, it's going to be a long time before we see another version of T'Challa.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that character's so important and his world so diverse. It's like Batman. We've had, like, 8 Batman.
Yeah.
Like, Batman, I think it's really important to have a Black Panther, like, present in movies. And I trust Ryan Coogler to do something with, like, the rest of the world with Wakanda. Oh, yeah. I think they're making a Wakanda TV show.
Really? Well, that would be awesome. Which, honestly, it's so crazy to think about how, like, the world has changed, or the MCU has changed since Black Panther, just because of, like, Black Panther, just because of, like, vibranium and, you know, the whole impact that has on the world. Like, like, with Vision, I mean, I remember, you know, this kind of going back to WandaVision a little bit, but
you're good.
When Hayward is,
Hayward. I can't, we didn't even talk about Hayward.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah, we didn't rip him to shreds, but.
Unbelievable. Shoots a kid at the end.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing here, you know? But when he's like, I can't allow you, when Wanda goes back and is like, just let me bury him. And he goes, I can't allow you to take $3 billion worth of vibranium,
right.
Like, and put it in the ground. I mean, it's, and all that just stemming from, you know, the introduction of Black Panther.
Like, I think Black Panther is, like, without, if you take away that final fight in, like, the underground with, like, the really bad CGI, probably the best Marvel movie.
Oh, it's great.
Like,
it's great.
The stuff it uses vibranium to tell a conversation about, like, should we use these resources to, like, help those being discriminated against, like, in America and other parts of the world?
Right.
Or do we stay isolated? Mm-hmm. That's really interesting stuff. Stuff most Marvel stuff won't even touch.
Right, yeah.
And I hope with the emergence of Falcon, he's going to be able to tackle stuff like that. Right. I mean, first he's got to get paid by the Avengers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
I mean, how are, literally, like, there is no world without the Avengers. How are you going to have, like,
this is Tony Stark, in my opinion. This is his fault. He's given Peter Parker drones and glasses that could nuke an entire continent. Yet he can't pay the Falcon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure at some point Tony probably should have. He definitely has to take some of the blame.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just, these are the guys saving the world, and you can't give him a bank loan? I mean,
it's ridiculous.
That is unreal. Like,
getting to that bank loan, because there's a bank loan scene in the first episode. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's what I want these shows to be. Yeah. I want these shows, like you said, the human aspect of the show so far, with Sam's financial troubles and Bucky's therapy sessions in the second episode, those kind of come together.
Right.
I love that, and I wish the show's focus was on that.
Right.
Because, I mean, we're talking about a bunch of superhero shows right now. I'm watching another superhero show with this. Surprisingly enough, it's the CW. It's Superman and Lois, which came out earlier this year. It's 5 episodes in. Honestly, I'm really surprised.
I gotta get caught up, man.
Like,
you're very, very high on it right now.
Because, like, not only does it show a version of Superman that I've been, like, starving for on, like, the screen, like, Tyler Hoechlin, who plays Superman, it's, like, one of the best interpretations of the character, in my opinion. It's really good.
Yeah.
It, like, takes inspiration from Friday Night Lights, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole conceit of the show is really around Superman being a dad to 2 teenage kids.
Right.
And the show, like, focuses on that first, and the Superman stuff's kind of primary and kind of supplements that.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially WandaVision was way too focused on the witch, got way too caught up in the witch of it all.
Yeah.
And I hope Falcon and Winter Soldier allows the human stuff to take precedent over the Flag Smashers, which I don't find too interesting.
No, yeah, I'm not too high on that side of the storyline either. I mean, obviously, like, they're cool, you know? They're super right. soldiers, but also, can we just, like, talk about how... I know that Bucky is a super soldier, but in the scene today, like, he's got burners, man. Like, he was moving when they were chasing down the trucks. I mean...
No, he's incredible. Like, that in the first episode's great, the flashback scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's, like, visually really nice. Like, it chooses a yellow palette, and it's great, and... Seeing him with the long hair is really fun.
Awesome,
like you said,
back.
We were talking
awesome
about this earlier. We were just gushing over that.
Yeah.
Like, I really like some of the stuff it's doing, mm-hmm. and it really allows these characters to feel more real than they ever have, because the movies are only 2 hours and there's so many characters in them.
Right.
And I was telling you this before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if this show came out before, like, Civil War. Because
right.
my problem with Civil War is that it focused so much on Bucky, so much revolves around Bucky. We don't know who Bucky is at
yeah,
that point.
No.
Just, like, imagine if we were allowed to have these TV shows that fleshed out supporting characters to bring emphasis on the characters who get most of the runtime in the movies.
Right, right. Yeah, because you don't know anything about Bucky until now. We're kind of getting into the aspect of, like, who really is Bucky. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, the therapy, I love the first therapy scene, honestly, just because, like,
yeah.
you've never really seen, or even when, you know, he's on the floor, which, I saw, man, I don't know if I saved the picture.
Him playing Battleship? Like, give me what more
yeah,
of that.
Yeah,
that's
I just,
great.
I want to see more of that side, because you never get to know, you know, his background, really. He's just, you know, he was made in a lab, he's trained
yeah.
to, you know, trained to kill, he's a trained assassin.
Right.
And you never get to see, you know, like, what is... Who really is Bucky? Like, what does he really care about? Like, is he actually, you know, that messed up in the head? Or is, can he have, you know, that kind of, like, I can't think of the word. Like, not comeback, but it's.
Redemption.
I don't know.
Redemption.
Redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the word. I kept thinking revenge, and I'm like, that's not it. Like, yeah, redemption.
Yeah, it's close, but, yeah, I mean, give me more scenes where it's, like, them going on dates. Because, like,
yeah.
that makes them feel human,
yeah.
and. Like, in Civil War, Bucky might as well be an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Like, he might as well be an inanimate object.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing him, like, live a daily life and seeing him, like, talk to, like, war people he's encountered in the war.
Right.
And, like, the second episode brings up the whole idea of, like, the systematic racism of the super soldier.
Right. With Isaiah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
that
God.
Was really cool. I wasn't expecting that to come up.
Didn't either. I really hope that they kind of dive more into that, and I hope that's not, like, all that we see of Isaiah.
I really agree.
Yeah.
I think that was really cool. I really like where this is going, and now we're gonna get Zemo, and I really like that they're bringing back characters that they've already used. Like,
right.
Bring back Zemo. Bring back, bring back the Mandarin. Bring back.
I mean, yeah, that would be the Mandarin is supposed to be the villain.
He is coming
in,
back
in
Shang-Chi.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But, like, bring back Justin Hammer from Iron Man 2. Bring back these small guys.
Yeah.
And just bring, like, even the first episode, we didn't even mention Don Cheadle's in it. Like,
yeah,
I'm watching
yeah,
it, it's like,
even,
look, it's Don
we
Cheadle.
We didn't even talk about Rhodey, yeah. I, because when I saw him in the first, I'm like, oh, wow, like, this is cool. And
like,
Don Cheadle's like, he's got, I mean, he's got to be a busy guy. Like,
well,
obviously,
hey,
he's the War Machine,
hey,
but.
Well, he's in Space Jam 2.
Is he really?
I think he's the villain in Space Jam.
Oh,
too.
No. What? I mean, he's great. I trust him.
What do you think about Space Jam 2 so far?
So, I'm skeptical because I'm a, like, massive Space Jam love. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I love Space Jam. Like, I've had it on DVD forever, and, like, sometimes I'll literally just plug it in and watch it, like, when I'm doing nothing, and it's just such a good watch, and, like, it's so fun. It's so 90s, like, you know?
Oh, it's so 90s. It's basically a commercial, like, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, so
yeah.
it's I have to love it.
Yeah.
It's like that and Rookie of the Year are my two go-to, like, bad. I mean,
yeah,
Space Jam's not great.
Yes,
but,
it's definitely not.
But, like,
you know,
Bill Murray's it, Larry Bird's in it. It's fun. Like, you just turn
just
off your
brain.
Just
a fun watch. It, you know, puts a smile on your face.
But, like, have you seen, like, the summary for the new Space Jam movie? It's insane.
I haven't.
So LeBron. I don't. We'll get back to Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm very interested.
Talk about Space Jam.
I'm very interested in Space Jam right now. Yeah. It is baffling what they're doing.
Really?
So instead of the Monstars, it's the Goon Squad. You'll find this summary. It's hilarious. Jeez. And my favorite part is that LeBron. So LeBron in the story, he has one kid. He has one kid. Played by a completely different actor.
So it's not even Bronny? Because that's a cool part about the first one, is that it's actually, you know, MJ's kids, like, they're in it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that sucks. This is disappointing.
It's absurd. Like, it's some unknown actor. Like, they just hired a new kid to play LeBron's.
Oh.
It's EW, I think.
Okay, yeah, I just... Okay,
oh, my
just
gosh. And,
that.
Like, Don Cheadle is playing a robot. And so they're like, angle on the new movie is that they're going to, because it's a Warner Brothers movie, they're going to have, I'm reading this right now, Hollywood royalty like Batman and King Kong courtside for one.
Yeah, what? Like,
and then the Goon Squad have powered up players, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's like Anthony Davis and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is like absurd. And I don't like the fact that they're like CGI. I like the fact that like the original Space Jam, they're like cartoon. They're like,
oh,
2D.
Yeah, yeah.
I
enjoyed that too. I don't know if I'm really, I'm not too big on the whole, you know, them being 3D either in like the CG or CGI, but
yeah, it's, this is absurd. Like, it is so,
this like makes
funny.
Me sad, because when they originally said that Space Jam 2 was going to come out, I was like, all right, I mean, I'm always going to ride for Bron. I mean, he's, look, Cleveland until I die, I'm always going to ride for the boy. But however, like, you can't butcher Space Jam. Like, it's just
they're
such
not even
a classic.
They're not even using LeBron's wife.
Like, why? Why? Like, why?
He's got a fake daughter.
This just makes me not want to watch it. This is gonna be so disappointing.
I mean, okay,
it's gonna be
yeah. There's
so
I'm looking at. Oh no, Don Cheadle is playing himself.
Oh, so Don Cheadle is.
But I think he's
Don
a robot.
Cheadle.
So yeah, I'm showing him a picture. Obviously, this doesn't work as a podcast. This is an audio medium.
Oh yeah,
that's Don Cheadle. This is hilarious. But like,
is that like his son?
LeBron is a much better actor than Michael
Jordan. Yeah, I mean, LeBron was in Trainwreck. Yeah.
Trainwreck's pretty good. But
solid movie.
Like, I have no doubt this is going to be like a better acted movie and like probably a better movie, but like, I don't know.
I would love to see. I mean, especially that sucks that Bronny's not in it, or even just not like his family at all.
I think that's hilarious. Mean, it's so funny.
Oh, I just want to know why. I mean,
hey, Bronny couldn't act apparently.
I guess they're trying. Are they trying to be different from the first Space Jam? But I don't think that's the way you go about it. It's taking the guy's family away. I mean,
like, their whole angle with making it a different movie is just like, yeah, we're gonna use like Wonder Woman and Godzilla and the Matrix are gonna be. And yeah. Hey, man, if Neo's in it, I'll watch. If the Matrix is in it,
hey,
I'll watch.
I
mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, say no more.
Say no more. But yeah, I'm very excited for Space Jam. I'm very interested.
A little bit more bummed now that I have this new information. But I mean, I'm still going to pay to watch it. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no question I'm going to see it.
Well, it's going to be one of those movies on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, hey.
Comes through.
Oh, my goodness. We'll see if it's good. But yeah,
we really went off on a tangent there.
All good. Back to Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah, we've pretty much talked about everything I wanted to talk about with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward for this show in general?
So, like I was saying earlier, really just the development of Sam, and I want to see, you know, how he. It's just, you know. Growing up, there wasn't too much representation for, like, you know, black superheroes. Like we said, you only really had Blade, and, you know, now the Black Panther is around. That's, you know, he's on that pedestal right now. So seeing Sam hopefully kind of rise into a role like Captain America, because I mean, Captain America's top dog. I mean, he's...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would just be...
The new Captain America, I think he's really good at being an
person. My friends don't... Like, Jack and Tyler didn't... They don't enjoy his character at all.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point.
No, yeah, yeah. But I think it's, like, well played, though.
Yeah.
They were saying he's, like, a bad actor. I was like, I think it's solid.
It's intended to be you're rooting against this guy. This guy is supposed to be. Because, like, when he, like, brought out a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm going to bring everything around here. This is good. This is full circle. Hold on. Wait for this. So when he brought out a gun, like, everything flashback, and I was like, this is not Captain America.
Right.
The same way I look at Ben Affleck wielding a gun, and I'm like, this is not Batman.
The episode is coming full circle.
Full circle. Look at this.
That's, I mean,
tell me I'm not good at my job.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But yeah, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is not, yeah, this is exactly how you visualize, this is not Captain America.
Right.
And he, the way Bucky looks at him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love, like, the interactions that he has with Bucky. Or, I mean, even Sam, too, but just because Bucky is so stone-faced. And, like,
yeah,
when he gives that stare, I love how they're, like, playing off on his stare. And,
yeah.
Yep, it's so,
I mean,
funny.
It's, like, Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's, like, a perfect buddy comedy. Because, like, the buddy cop, like, Lethal Weapon and all those movies, like, the buddy cop movie, Rush Hour.
Right.
You have two completely different personalities, and they clash. That's the whole point of it.
The scene of them at therapy is, I thought that was
great.
Oh,
they get close up,
it's so funny.
Yeah, and they have really good chemistry, like, obviously. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was worried it would fall into the same thing. Have you seen the Fast and Furious spinoff, Hobbs and Shaw?
Oh, I haven't seen Hobbs and Shaw.
It's not very good. So it kind of markets itself as like, oh, this is like a buddy cop. This is like an 80s buddy cop movie.
Right, right.
The problem is both Hobbs and Shaw are like wisecracking assholes.
Right, yeah.
You
gotta have like that differentiation.
Like, all they do is just, for 2 hours, they just like try to one-up each other. And it's like, you guys are the same person. And listen, I can talk for hours about the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Fast. Me and my sister, we would grind those like all the time.
I have all of them on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I think we have up until Fast 8 at my house. We have up until Fast 8.
But yeah, like, I'm not going to get into that. I can talk for 10 minutes about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
But like, I was kind of worried they would fall into that same thing where it's just like, Bucky's going to make like a sarcastic quip, and then Falcon, he obviously does that. That's his character.
Right.
It's not really doing that. Bucky's got like a reserved like anger to him.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, Falcon has that too, but he shows it much more lightly. He's more lighthearted.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's making White Panther jokes, which I found very funny. Right,
yeah, they're good. They're good.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to them focusing on the human aspect, like I said. I think I want to see more with the financial troubles. I want to see more about the, like, the subtext race problems it brings up,
right,
and how it concludes that. And honestly, I just want to see, I can't wait, because we all know he's going to be Captain America.
Yeah.
Sam's going to get the shield.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see how they, like, how cathartic it's going to be to see that fake Captain America get beat up. And that's the sign of good storytelling, to bring up like a guy who's supposed to be unlikable, and you just want to see them beat
right, yeah,
that crap
you
want to
see them go down.
Like, yeah. But yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this. Like, I mean, I really like making it like a routine to watch these Friday. I find that really enjoyable.
Oh,
I
awesome.
Found that enjoyable with like The Mandalorian, and I think it's the best way to do it. But yeah, I am cautiously optimistic, but
agreed,
much more optimistic than I should be coming from WandaVision.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that, because I think WandaVision coming out first, that was like a very, well, I guess it kind of like faltered to the end, but like WandaVision came out like firing, like it was so unique and so different at the beginning. And you know, you like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you start that and you're like, all right, well, what's this really going to be? I mean, well, I guess we kind of had an idea of what it would be going into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to start out kind of swinging. Like, your first few episodes have got to be, you got to keep the audience interested enough to keep coming back, which, I mean, they have done. So,
yeah. It's like WandaVision, this is a very weird analogy, but WandaVision is kind of like if somebody was going to go through a vast wilderness with no path.
Yeah.
They get through that, congrats. WandaVision kind of lost its way.
Yeah.
But, like, I applaud the effort, I guess.
Right.
Falcon and Winter Soldier is, like, you're running a marathon, and it's, like, there's a clear path. It's set out.
Right.
And, like, if it's going to be much more satisfying to see them stay on that track,
mm-hmm,
because they've set it up, unlike what WandaVision does. Right. But, yeah, I'm very excited for Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, Sharon Carter still has to come.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun time. I'm very excited for Loki coming later this year. I know you are too.
Dude, we talked about that. That is Loki, when they Marvel announced originally all of the different things and that they'd be like releasing this year, that was what I was like, all right, I have to see that. I just love Loki's character. He's just and Tom Hiddleston's just perfect. Owen Wilson's in it.
Crazy.
That scene is so, I mean, the trailer, if you haven't seen the trailer, I mean, it's so good. It's just a lot to be excited for right now.
I'm excited for that. And Eternals, I'm excited for.
Yeah, I don't know
Chloe
too much
Zhao,
about.
Chloe Zhao, she just released Nomadland.
Oh, yeah.
Really good movie. It's maybe going to win Best Picture. But I'm excited for that. Spider-Man 3, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of upsetting that they're going to Spider-Verse after three movies. It kind of tells me that they're out of ideas.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm a big Spider-Man fan. Like, Spider-Man's always been like my favorite superhero. Just he's just the friendly neighborhood guy, you know.
He rules.
But I wish they weren't running out of ideas, because I think there's so many different things that you could do with Spider-Man. There's so many different villains and like directions you could go. And I guess like could that be deferring a little bit from the MCU? Yeah, but like that's like does he really need to be in the Avengers talks all the time, you know? Like, that's one of the problems that I think I have with the MCU Spider-Man is just that, like, you never really get to see him as, like, you know, as Peter Parker.
I agree.
Like,
we could talk about this for hours.
Oh, my God,
it could be its own episode.
It literally, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, am I excited for Spider-Man 3? No. Will I go? Yes. Will I cry when Alfred Molina comes back as Doc Ock? Yes, I will. 100%. I'm the first to admit that. But yeah, I mean, do you have any final words? We've hit over an hour. We've been talking a while.
We went strong today.
We went real strong today. any closing words?
Just excited for the future. Super excited. Hopefully, you know, we won't have to wait as long for the next episode. That was partially my fault because I was gone the past few weeks. But very excited to, you know, watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Anything you're looking forward to in general, like any shows, any movies?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm looking forward to finishing out Peaky Blinders. I know there's a season 6 coming at some point. I'm not sure when.
I feel like they're filming that now. I feel like I saw that.
Probably. Other than that, I guess I'm going to have to get into Superman.
Superman and Lois? Yeah. It's free on like the CW app.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to have to start watching that.
I highly recommend. It's... If you want Superman, a good Superman in your life, it's really nice. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to. I gotta watch more of those Disney movies. Like, I'm watching like some of like the underrated ones. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But I gotta get on my Oscar. I gotta watch the Best Picture winners. I've watched a few,
but I haven't seen. I've been so out of the loop. Like,
the Oscar nominations came out, and I was very upset because the Five Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
The Spike Lee
heard
movie
a lot of good things about
did
that
not
movie.
Get nominated for Best Picture. Delroy Lindo, he's incredible in the movie. It's probably right now my favorite movie of the year. Judas and the Black Messiah, probably
heard that
one
was
and
good
two,
too.
Really good. But I got like 5 Best Picture winners to watch. I got to watch those. Just I'm gonna keep watching Twin Peaks. Gonna keep grinding out my shows. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I think this is a really, really good episode. I don't want to brag, but I think we did a great job here.
I think we did great as well. I mean, you know, I once again hit an hour and almost 10 minutes. I mean, we were rolling today. You know, I mean, and also like it's just talking about this stuff. I mean,
I could do it for days.
Yeah, I was gonna say like we could go on for hours on end. Like,
all right, yeah. So, thank you for tuning in. And before I go, I just want to say, come on and slam, and welcome to the jam.